Welcome to Biblical Higher Ed Talk, where we tap into the wisdom of leaders and practitioners of biblical higher education for the advancement of colleges and universities teaching the way of Christ in the modern world. Each week, we'll tackle topics around leading your organization, expanding your impact in the world, and deepening your faith through Christ-centered conversations. Ready to make a difference in the lives of your faculty, staff, and students? Then let's begin our journey.
Today on Biblical Higher Ed Talk, I sit down with Michael Martin, President and CEO at the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, to discuss ECFA's new standard addressing leader care, making sure organizational boards address the health of their senior leaders. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm your host, Philip Dearborn, president of ABHE, and we are honored to have as our guest this week, Michael Martin. Michael is the president and CEO of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, better known as, and for the rest of this podcast, ECFA, an organization that accredits Christian organizations ensuring sound fiscal accountability, responsible board governance, and ethical fundraising. Michael served at ECFA for nearly a decade before he became the president and CEO in March of 2020, which is very close to when I took the presidency of ABHE, and then COVID happened. You and I have shared all kinds of fun conversations and experiences through taking the presidency of an organization during COVID. But I've invited Michael to talk about a new ECFA standard that I love, and I think it's something that should have been done years ago within Christian organizations, and that's a standard that relates to the health of the senior leader, something I think too often we assume in our Christian organizations. So welcome, Michael, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, Philip, it's great to be with you and the ABHE community. And you're right, we're in that pandemic president's club.
That's right. It's a small and elite club that we immediately know our experiences when we get together, because it was such a unique time to not only lead an organization, but take on the leadership responsibility of it. So I'm so glad it's behind us, though.
That is so true. And aren't you glad that God only gives us sort of one step in front of us at a time and we don't see the full picture?
That's exactly right. Because I think we would have handed the plan back to him and said, no, I think I'm good where I'm at. So
that's right. Yep. That's right.
Well, we're going to talk about the standard. But before we do that, just so that our audience can get to know you a little bit more, Michael, share with us a defining moment that God used in your life. It can be your professional life, your personal life, but just something that propelled you forward and kind of set that trajectory for you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this is the direction to take it, but I'll just sort of share what's on my heart, which is I had the privilege of being able to grow up in the church, being a young person that came from a family of faith. And I'll tell you, Philip, one thing that's interesting is, you know how you hear that your calling, your mission in life is often so closely associated with what breaks your heart. And I will say, even as a young person, I remember being profoundly impacted as I would see, the different scandals or the failures and things that would happen within Christian ministry leadership. And I think we all feel those, you know, obviously, and are heartbroken around them. But I think especially as a young person, I felt those really deeply. And I will say that was something that God used just early in my life, I think, to give a clear sense of purpose and a clear sense of calling. I had no idea that an organization like ECFA existed at that time. But, you know, having that clear sense of purpose from a very young age, I feel like God was able to use that to propel me forward. And I can look back and say, I'm so thankful for all of the ways that God, through his sovereignty, just kind of connects those dots and takes you from one place to the next. And so here we are today.
I've often talked to people, usually in discipleship contexts, of answering God's call for your life. And I think too often we actually make it a little bit more complicated than it really is. And I believe that the Lord actually uses areas of passion to kind of guide what our calling is. because, you know, I look at my life, I feel called to where I am at ABHE. Well, I'm passionate about biblical higher education. I'm not sure I'd be in this position if that I didn't have that passion. So where passion aligns with calling, that it's a beautiful thing when those pieces come together and you're actually able to use both of them in a leadership capacity.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there were many twists and turns and different unexpected things along the way, and took a little bit of an indirect route in a sense of also had a great passion for law. And so went to law school. But I think all along I knew that, and I even see how God uses some of those experiences and passions as well in our role here at ECFA, be involved in Capitol Hill issues. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I joke that along the way, ECFA converted me into being a CPA because that came later on. But I think all of those things, they do play into the broader issue of, you know, trust and confidence in organizations. And I'm so grateful for, at a very early age, God making that purpose and that calling clear.
Love it. So do you have your law degree?
I do. Yeah, I do.
I wish I knew that ahead of time, because I don't allow lawyers on our shows.
You got to be careful where you say that, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's right. I need a lawyer joke right now. Like, how many lawyers does it take to change a light bulb? But
next time.
There you go. Next time. Next episode. So, well, we didn't come to talk about changing light bulbs. We are here to talk about a new standard that ECFA has just adopted. And being in the world of standards with accreditation, it's a big deal when an organization who is in the accreditation business is adding a standard. So in a moment, we're going to talk about that. A number of our institutions are ECFA members, which we really appreciate. But for those who are listening who aren't, give us just the high-level elevator speech about what even is ECFA.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do that. And for all of those who are watching on the video version of this podcast, you can actually see there's the ECFA accreditation seal behind me that you've likely seen on an organization's website or their giving materials. And it's really that sign of trust and confidence that an organization is meeting high standards of accountability in order to be part of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And we're privileged today to have over 2,700 organizations across the country. Like you mentioned, Philip, many of them institutions of higher ed. And so we're grateful to have those as partners of ECFA and ABHE as well.
That's right. That's right. In fact, last year we went through our audit or our review, and it was a thorough process with some great advice at the end of it. And it was funny. I think you were headed to our offices for a meeting. And we had just received the certificate with the seal on it. So I told the staff, make sure we get that seal up because Michael Martin's coming in. So
there you go. I thought you were going to say you're worried I was coming as part of a site visit.
There you go. Well, we were worried about that too, but no. Okay. So this new standard that you've announced focuses on leader care. So give us the context and reason behind adding this new standard.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, I think along with that too, it's probably appropriate in the context of ECFA as a whole as well to say that, you know, there are different groups out there, charity monitoring groups and others, but ECFA really approaches our work very much from the standpoint of biblically based standards of accountability and an accountability model. And I think as we see some of the shifts and changes in culture, actually having those biblically based standards becomes even more important. So I'll get to that opportunity on leader care in just a moment, but maybe even setting the stage too of going back to the original formation of ECFA now 45 years ago, is that it really did begin with some very bold standards to help enhance trust. So I'll share just a little bit of insight there too, because I think so many of the things that we've come to accept now as just sort of standard practice, things like organizations providing audited financial statements. Well, ECFA, when those original standards were formed, came at a time when virtually no nonprofit organizations had audited financial statements. So, I mean, just bold standards. Same with in the arena of independent board governance. You know, at the time that ECFA formed in the late 1970s, there were many ministry leaders who would say, well, we're only accountable to God. And so having this idea of actually having a majority of independent board members, which now has become, again, just kind of standard practice at the time, was very, very bold. And so what we're seeing now, Philip, is that as ECFA is hearing more from Christian ministries and donors on a different issue, we see that now's really the time to introduce this new standard to help raise the standard of care for leaders. And it really began 3 years ago now. And I'll say, I guess, quickly, the big news is we just announced this standard. Folks can find more information about it at ecfa.org/leadership standard. But you had asked to kind of give the context. So going back, this was a journey that's been 3 years in the making. And so I'll try to do the 3 years and 3 minutes. I know we don't have just all the time in the world on the podcast, but it really began as we were hearing more concerns from Christian ministry leaders, those that were part of ECFA, but also donors as well, who are saying, you know, with all the challenges that we're seeing in this area of leadership, and not always to the point of integrity failures, but also just the number of leaders who are experiencing burnout.
Biblical Higher Ed Talk is sponsored by ABHE, the Association for Biblical Higher Education. At ABHE, bringing the love and light of Christ to the world is reflected in our drive to see our member institutions flourish, leading them to a time of success for their institution and giving them the tools and insights they need to look toward the future. Interested in learning more about membership with ABHE? Visit us at abhe.org or send us an email to membership@abhe.org. ABHE is your partner committed to advancing biblical higher education for kingdom impact. Now, back to the show.
That is significant, because I think when we think about leader care, we often jump to the ultimate worst example of failure within Christian organizations, a moral failure that disqualifies them for ministry or within the organization that they are. But there's quite a long runway from healthy leader to moral failure. The fact that you're addressing this almost in a proactive way to say, look, yeah, ultimately we're trying to avoid moral failure, but the health of the leader, there's a whole lot of health issues that happen before that actually happens.
No, you're exactly right. That's a great observation. And because there's the quote failures that we read about in the news that are public and they are seen, but we all have known and experienced like leadership seasons where there's a lack of health, and it also has devastating consequences in other ways. It doesn't always have to be that public demonstration of a fall or a failure. And so, yeah, that's exactly right. And so that was the feedback that we heard and connected as well to, okay, the mission of ECFA. And if all of these issues around leadership are having this impact on trust, is there anything that ECFA can do, not to necessarily set out and solve all the problems? It's a very complex issue. There's lots of facets to it, but is there anything that ECFA can do within its role in the body of Christ to help support healthy leadership? And so that's really the journey that we went on. We had a task force that was involved in this, numerous focus groups, conversations with leaders. Just to kind of give you one statistic that I think speaks to this issue is, Philip, we saw that 94% of ECFA member organizations, when we surveyed CEOs and board chairs of organizations, said that these integrity failures or issues in leadership are having a negative impact on trust. Yeah. And at the same time, so many organizations lack, like you said, those proactive practices to help support healthy leadership. So that's what's really inspired the standard. And we've seen the connection to the financial accountability of organizations and also trust related to leadership. Yeah.
So pull back the curtain just a little bit as to your process. How do you write a new standard? You had a committee that formed, and how many iterations did you go through to actually get to the current statement?
Yeah. So, and again, this was a standard that's really inspired by ECFA members. So I think as our board, which I have to give great credit to the men and women who serve on the ECFA board of directors, I would never claimed that this was, you know, Michael's great idea or anything like that. But the way that our board processed this feedback that we were hearing from ECFA members was really just first to pause, mm-hmm. to pray, to prayerfully discern, to form a task force. And this task force commissioned the research from ECFA's members. Hmm. This was going all the way back to late 2021. And the reaction, the felt need that we saw from those who spoke into it in that early research, and then again, these focus groups and conversations, is what inspired the standard, but also impacted, like you said, there were iterations of this, right? Mm-hmm. All along. And I have to tell you, I've lost track of the number, like how many drafts there were. I think there was one member of the task force who said it very well and just commented on how, as you see this draft standard come together that was ultimately approved by the ECFA board that was issued to our members, is this one task force member said, you know what? I can see so many people's fingerprints on this. I think that picture has always kind of stuck with me of that's true, because as we gleaned input from so many across our members, from I'd say governance experts, leader care experts, it's that biblical principle that in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a good leadership principle that's emerging from that, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But that's, you know, when you're trying to establish buy-in for something, oftentimes we as leaders look at the process as a painful one. And is it necessary for us to go through a process and to get to this conclusion when we know what the conclusion is? I mean, you walk into it, we want a standard on this issue. Well, you establish buy-in in that process. Now, it can't go on forever, and there's nothing more frustrating than a committee editing words and shifting, but that's a great reflection of the process to say, yeah, it took us a bit to go through this, but you can see everyone's fingerprints on it. Well, that means that everybody that was involved now has a sense of buy-in, that it's not just a new standard that we pass, check it off the list. It's actually something that I was able to provide input in. And I think that's, as leaders, too often we move too fast. And that reflective element and allowing the process to work actually benefits you in the end.
No, it is so true. We are all the wiser for going deliberately and really trying to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. I know sometimes God moves fast, but you're right. Probably sometimes we have a tendency to get ahead of him. So yeah. I'm grateful for the pace that we ran, all the wisdom that's spoken into it. Yeah. And I will say even too, we're now at a stage where, again, we made this public announcement of the standard, but we're also still listening. We're still learning. We're inviting feedback from all 2,700 ECFA accredited organizations to be able to see, here is where the draft is. Now continue to share your feedback with us. And also looking forward futuristically, what resources would you like to see from ECFA to help you successfully implement the standard? Yeah. Because it doesn't end at, okay, here's the standard, now go run with it. There's going to be this time of equipping organizations to really do this well, to go beyond just checking a box, but to really implement the spirit of the standard.
Yeah, which is a great transition to the next question. So now that the standard is in place, you vetted this in your process and you saw what organizations did in relation to the leadership care aspect of it. So share with us a couple examples. What are organizations doing to help their senior leaders be healthy leaders?
Yeah, no, happy to share some of those learnings from, again, the real life stories. You know, I think when we saw that 94% statistic, we saw the numbers, we thought we've got to get to what are the stories behind those numbers. And so we had those conversations. I suppose too, I should be sure to communicate as well with the standard, what the basic requirements are. And there's a lot of freedom and flexibility within the framework. I think that's the spirit of this, is we want to empower organizations to really invest in leader care in ways that make sense to their culture, that fit the unique needs of the leader. But the minimum expectations are establishing biblical character expectations for leaders. It was noteworthy in our research just how many organizations haven't taken steps to formalize things like codes of conduct, right? Mm-hmm. Just some mm-hmm. basic kind of foundational areas. And so that's part of it. But then also, again, where the gold, I think, is really buried here is in the requirement to that boards of organizations, or this can be delegated to a committee of a board, mm-hmm. would have at least an annual conversation with the leader to say, how can we come alongside and help support your integrity as a leader, as a whole person? We know that ultimately that responsibility for your health and integrity rests on the individual leader, but how can we proactively come alongside and help support a leader? And so there's many, many ways that that can be done and that can happen. But I think through some of the most successful models of groups that are already kind of doing much of what we're envisioning here, Philip, actually a couple examples from higher ed. So higher ed talk, here we are.
Yeah, love it.
These were organizations, talk with two university presidents. I'll never forget these conversations of, they had what were called a committee on the president or a mm-hmm. president's care committee. Yep. So it wasn't the full board, but it was a subset, a smaller group of the board, which I think is probably where more of these conversations can be done effectively, depending on the size of the board. But mm-hmm. In these instances, it was committees that were formed. They had a clear charter and a direction of ways that they were expected to engage with the leader, but actually not just the leader, also the leader's spouse. And I think that's such an important piece of this as well, as ministry doesn't happen in isolation with just the leader, but very much it's a partnership too with the spouse. And so in each of these examples, these university presidents spoke to just how meaningful mm-hmm. those committees have been. And one of them even shared, you know, I think they're a little over 10 years in the role, which you could tell me the statistics, I think, on the average tenure and all those things. But to me, someone serving in that capacity for a lengthy period of time kind of speaks to the success mm-hmm. of a committee like this and the health of the leader. This university president said, you know, Michael, I wouldn't still be in this role serving in this capacity if it hadn't been for this committee on the president.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. That's great. Any other examples that you've seen?
Yeah, I think in some other cases, and maybe even smaller organizations, it'd be helpful to kind of paint the picture there mm-hmm. too, because again, in a larger institution, a university, maybe a larger board and a committee, I think being able to even hear too from some smaller organizations that have done this a little more informally as well. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things, it's good to be mindful of even with board members, the spiritual giftings of board members. Yeah. And often seen it be the case that there's at least one, maybe two board members who are serving and they have a real pastoral heart, you know, for the leader. And so I think it's even being mindful of, even if you're not in a large organization, large institution where you have committees that you can set up and structure to do mm-hmm. this, is even looking and saying, okay, who on the board that yeah. this might be their spiritual gift
yeah.
to help come alongside the leader on a regular basis between board meetings. Again, we really do believe that Christ-centered governance should look differently. Mm-hmm. It's not just about what the leader does for the organization, but who they are in Christ. And yeah. so we saw some great examples of, even in smaller organizations, mm-hmm. having a board member or two that is designated to have these kinds of ongoing conversations with the
yeah.
leader.
Yeah, that's great. One example, and I don't know if it was one of the two schools, but I was at one of our member schools and was invited to do some board training with them. And part of that process, I sat through the board meetings. And they had a committee. So they had their executive committee of the board, but then they had a separate presidential care committee. So I think a lot of times the assumption is, well, that's the role of the executive committee. And that may very well be the case. But I think you raise a good point that just because they're the official officers of the board does not necessarily mean that they have a pastoral heart. And hopefully you have people on your board who have a pastoral heart, and to identify that two or three. And in this case where I sat in, it was not the executive committee of the board. And I was honored to sit in it. In fact, I offered not to, because it was a very intimate conversation with those individuals that they asked some very direct questions about the health of the president and his relationship with his wife, and how are they financially, and are there any issues at home? I mean, it was a pretty in-depth conversation. The president anticipated that, knew that that was coming, so there was the sense of accountability, and they created a very safe space for the conversations to happen. And I think that in itself would be a fantastic method to meet this particular standard.
Right, absolutely. And I think when it's all done in that spirit of care,
yeah,
for the leader, I mean, that's really key. That's one thing we've tried to do our best. I'm sure it's not perfect, but even in the draft and the text, the language of the standard is really posturing it from a place of care for the leader.
Yeah.
One other thing you just made me think of too, Philip, is I think organizations too, keeping an open mind for even including maybe some former board members to be in the mix in that group, because, you know, we're all familiar with board rotation and it's just one of those things that we have to deal with. But, you know, maybe it's not even all current board members, but even people who've served in the past and they've had to rotate off for various reasons. If this is an area where they have a spiritual gift and they can plug in to be able to continue to serve in that capacity, we've seen that as well.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And we all know it, that the health of the leader has a direct impact on the health of the organization. And you can fake it for a while, but ultimately that will catch up to you and there will be consequence to it. So I think out of all of your standards, this is probably the most important one that organizations have to get right. Got to get your finances right. And there's got to be the ethical, more moral approach to fundraising and all of those pieces. But it all starts with the leader and the health of that leader as they're leading the organization. So I really applaud you all for doing this. How will you measure this standard?
Yeah, and I just thought of one other thing too, which is coming back to something else you said as well, which is probably true. This standard should have been in place years ago.
Yeah.
And so here we are, we're playing catch up a little bit, but even some 2024 research from Barna as well that confirms that not just from a ministry organization standpoint, but also from the perspective of Christian donors, we saw that 4 out of 5 Christian donors, when they heard about this concept of an organization investing in the proactive care for the health of the leader and their holistic integrity, 4 out of 5 said that it would strengthen their trust in the organizations that they support.
That's powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you had asked as well about, you know, how do we measure this standard? The short answer to that is it's really in a lot of the same ways that ECFA is already enforcing our standards. And so this can be folded into the rest of our member accountability processes and the annual accreditation renewals with ECFA. But one thing that we were careful to do was to craft the standard in a way where, again, you can't subjectively measure or evaluate necessarily the health of the leader. But through this task force, through the research of the ECFA membership, was to say, what are some very clear and objective steps that we can include within the standard for ECFA to be able to, as we're working with our member organizations, to say, yes, you know, you're in compliance with this standard. And so there's what's called the policy for excellence in supporting leadership integrity that is included within the standard. I think it's kind of a 3-step process. And so as long as organizations are proactively caring for the health and the integrity of the leader and following those basic steps that are there, we're able to say that, you know, an organization is in compliance with the standard. And again, hopefully going well beyond even those minimum expectations, we believe that many of our members will.
Yeah, great. Well, listen, we're coming to the end here of our podcast. This has been a fantastic conversation. So in the last couple of minutes here, we have listeners who are leaders in biblical and Christian higher education. What's one thought that you'd like to leave with them from your seat leading ECFA?
Yeah, thank you. Well, as you know, I am just such a huge advocate and I'm a product of Christian higher ed and so thankful for the work that so many of you do. The one thing that I do appreciate about higher ed is how it's really a culture shaping segment of all the different Christian ministries that you think of, really shapes the culture and the future through those who are pursuing higher ed. And so I think for those that care so much about the culture. It's looking around and seeing that we are in a culture, we're in a time where trust in institutions is declining. Mm-hmm. And so let me just be that continued person to say, investing in all that we can do to help enhance trust through these biblically based standards of accountability. I just would continue to encourage that. And then also for organizations that are interested in joining us, being part of this movement, mm-hmm. this new initiative to help care for the integrity of leaders is to check out the landing page that we've set up for this. It's at ecfa.org/leadership standard at the mm-hmm. time that this podcast is being broadcast. We're still at a time where, again, we're continuing to invite input. We're continuing to invite feedback into the standard and into those resources. And so we hope that you'll join us as mm-hmm. part of this movement to help care for the integrity of leaders.
Well, thank you, Michael, for sharing your wisdom and experiences with us today, and really, really appreciated the conversation. So thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So for those of you who would like to hear more about ECFA, Michael does host the podcast himself, Behind the Seal, and you can subscribe to that on your favorite podcast platform. So until next time, stay kingdom focused.
Thanks for listening to Biblical Higher Ed Talk. For more, follow or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. We're delighted that you chose to spend a part of your day with us and encourage you to reach out to us with feedback, topics, or guests for the show. You can get in touch with Philip, your host, via LinkedIn or at biblicalhigheredtalk@abhe.org. Biblical Higher Ed Talk is a production of the Association for Biblical Higher Education in association with Westport Studios. Views expressed on this show are those of the participants and may not reflect the views of ABHE or Westport Studios. Bring light and life to your biblical higher educational organization by inquiring about membership with ABHE at abhe.org. We'll catch you next time.